come back, new heaven and new earth. So that is a hope at least for all those who believe in Jesus Christ or who come to seek the future. We know that there's somewhere, sometime, that the crying, the death, and the sorrow, and the burden, and the suffering, and all the things related, depression, the negatives, glory God. But there's also another time do you think in the church we could have this kind of situation without pain, with sorrow, without... Can we have that here? In the church? It's hard to answer, right? No. Yeah. In the church still we feel some of those. That's why we talk about here. Because we're still here on the earth. According to this passage, we are here, so we are still in this former world. It has not passed away yet. The world of heaven is still here, but God has not been fully in control. Okay? We're still under, you know, our flesh. We're still in this world. The world of heaven is still in control. The sin, the death, and the illness, the crime, the bombings, the terrorist attack, the oil spills, the pollution, the fires, fightings, our own internal darkness are here. So that we kind of, you know, trapped here. As I prepared, I searched for some illustrations. I thought I better, I struggled for about 12 hours. Try to know if I should show Johnny Erickson Tata's story. She was paralyzed when she was 17. And you know, she is now 64. And she sat 45 years in the wheelchair. When she was 17, she dived into Chesapeake Bay, tried to swim. But bang! The backbone here, number four, number five, are cracked. So she was she is paralyzed. Neck down. And, so she was so depressed, so suffering through this all these years. And I just found out in March she spoke very, very eloquently, very, very gloriously, but still in the pain, in the suffering of wheelchairs and of cancer. 2 years ago from breast cancer. What a good way to see, connect to Christ in sufferings. You know, maybe someday during youth or even Sunday, we can watch it. But today I decided not to show you because I have not really prepared how to explain them to you. So before that, I should share some of that. Yes, I struggled for so many hours trying to figure out. So she tried to see that the miracles Jesus had for the poor of Bethesda, you know, that each year that the angel came to stir the water and some of them jumped in first would get healed. So when that accident happened, you know, 45 years ago, she read the passage, flipped over his mouth with a stick, with a rubber head to turn pages, from pages to pages, read Bible.
See, Jesus makes miracles. I want one, Lord Jesus. I want one. I want to be one of those paralyzed people. You know, couldn't walk, or in sickness, lamed, or whatever. I want to be healed. No. No healing for those years. Even recently, I think maybe last year, two or three years ago, she and her husband, or even this year already, I don't quite know from the video, when they went to Israel. And her husband wheeled her up and down, somehow ran into the pool of Bethesda, over there by herself. There was no tourists. Just she and her husband. Again, by herself. Her husband said to her, I like to see the service people. If they have some water, that we can see here. So by herself then, she talked to Jesus again, saying, Lord, now I'm here. Are you here? Am I going to see your hand upon me? No. Again, she came back. So, the whole point of her testimony was, sufferings makes people coming to God, searching for help, looking for healing, looking forward to see this verse to be true, even now, to us. Not healing right away. But, I tell you the conclusion I got. And she said that too. Jesus comes, he's not just for healing. Yes, he did a lot of healings. But he did more salvation. That's what her reading, Mark chapter 1. That chapter recorded a lot of miracles Jesus did. And still more need to be healed. But Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to other town, because I come here in order that I share gospels to more people. There, Johnny was reminded early on, about 45 years ago, when she was searching, she had a conclusion in the first place when she was down. You know, she was thinking, no, Jesus, I don't want to go through this all my life. If you do not heal me, I will not believe you anymore. So all of that, she started to wait, to seek, and to see if Jesus would do some healing to remove all her sufferings. But on the way, she found out, through that reading of Mark chapter 1, her conclusion is, Jesus is more of internal redemption. Salvation is for our soul and spirit and our mind and our physical well-being. God will surely take care of it, but that's not the primary purpose of Jesus coming into this world. Healing is part of the means Jesus brings people to him. When seeking help like Johnny, she got internal purification. So, that's my introduction. That suffering, where it comes from? Where does suffering come from? I'd like to have Zen to read, Zen, yes. Then you have the passage in Genesis. Read both of them.
to Adam, he said, because he listened to your wife and he proved to the trees about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. There's just a ground because you do. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the vines of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, the dust you are, and to dust you will return.
Okay, see, where does the pain, suffering, death come from? According to Bible, it came from people turned away from God, except the temptation from Satan. And the result is that the pain and suffering of bearing child, the work of labor, you know, you toil, you have so much things to clean up, the ground is not friendly anymore, there are weeds, there are thorns and thistles, there are so much to do that because human beings turn away from God, the nature also become broken. According to Romans chapter 8, it said that too. The nature is laboring. The nature has suffered. Not only because, you know, we have so much pollution act. We have so much careless acts human made to harm the nature. But also nature itself, even in the beginning, started to produce negative things against the original God's design of Garden of Eden. Remember, when God created the world, everything was in order, everything was produced fruitful and plentiful and good. There is no negative section. But now, right after, the passage then just read told us, the world, the soil, the ground becomes very negative against are human beings. So sorrow comes from sin. So Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by no one, by one man's sin enter into the world, the death by sin, and the death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death is the general destination for human beings. The reasoning of Romans 5:12 says, death came from one action, Adam and Eve. And since that death passed down to us, so the reverse would be true, that we are born with sinful nature. We all sinned. So Romans 6:23 said that same thing. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, is there any place there's no pain and no sorrow, no tears, no death? We like to go to nice places like this picture shows. You get that because that also shows the creation reflects God's glory. Isaiah 35 says so. All the creation, the flowers, the trees, everything here. You know, when it is dark, we do not see. But when sun shines, everything has beautiful, glorious reflections. It is not but for us to enjoy. It is to remind us that there is a God who created all those. Those beautiful combination of nature shows the Creator is more glorious. That's why when you read Revelation, the new heaven and new earth, the city of God in the New Jerusalem, with so many glorious descriptions. The golden city, the golden road, the pearl gate, all the gems there. What for? We don't need those. Those are glorious descriptions of who God is. And we also reflect that because when we believe in Jesus Christ, the suffering, now, further we'll talk about that.
the chastisement of suffering is to purify us. When our character purifies us, we become showing, reflecting God's glory. So, in the Garden of Eden, before people fall, people fall down to the temptation of Satan, that was like this. There was no pain, no sorrow, no death. So only two places, the beginning and the future, in eternity. But now, are we trapping here? Yes. That's Eric's, Johnny's husband when they said to her. Because when Johnny, you know, and her husband started dating, and she already in the wheelchair, and Ken, I think, decided to pursue her and had a marriage. So one day, her husband said to her, "Oh, I'm so tired. I'm tired of caring for you. It is endless job to carry you up and down, to serve you day and night. I am tired. I want to get out of this." And Johnny said to her, "Don't you remember our wedding vow? I am like this. I was this. I am still this way. Why would you betray your vow?" That caused her husband more angry. "You do not know I am so hurting that you do not appreciate me. You do not know how much I give up for you. How much sacrifice, how many nights, how stressful. And there is no appreciation, and you demanding more. Until later, when she said, started to have different approach, saying to her husband that, "I think I should understand that you did so much sacrifice. My suffering caused you this depression. She said that, capital D, a real depression. It is not just stressful. It is a down. Trapped. Like many of us, non-Christians or Christians, we think our situation is no way out. This is the endless condition, suffering, like this guy. Or in the future, like this one. This is even better because it's abstract. You can put yourself in that condition. You try to help somebody, or even yourself, like that. And someone try to help you, it's like crying out. Church have that too. Constantly people come to help, and I cannot share with you, because many times people are like that. The one who give care, caregiver, the one who being afflicted emotionally, physically, in relationship, on job, I pray that when I am much older, I won't be like this, to be the burden of somebody else. Many of you would pray that too. And recently I talked to older guys in our church. They say, "Okay, we have decided that no emergency room when things turn bad. Do not use supporting apparatus. Those equipment. Don't use those. Just let go. Let God take me home." So, it is not far away. It is not in Boston, not in West, not in Sichuan. It is right maybe here. We do not know. You know. Maybe those sufferings are not in the emergency room. Maybe here in your heart. You have those very difficult conditions no one can really understand. Come to the church helps a lot. That's why we come on time, every time. We get back to life, this. Actually, it's already been told. Okay, next one. Why God allows salvation, the suffering? People get suffered in order that God will do something. God will not happy to see us suffer, but He allows people to suffer for several reasons. First, He shows that our life has been separated between Him and us because of sin. And we will have eternal death and eternal suffering. According to Revelation, what is hell? Fire and ending. And Jesus said what? The worms will eat you, bite you. That means endless suffering. So if we have suffering now, the future suffering is even more serious. Have you been burnt somehow? The other day, actually, noontime, I was doing yard work, and I addressed a t-shirt. And the next day, my wife found here the sunburn has blisters. She said, "What happened to you? What did you do to yourself?" She thought that was some insect bites, put some medicine on it. And later on, I thought, no, there was no insect bites. So yesterday, she said, like the day before yesterday, she said, "Oh, I see. This is sunburn because now all the skins are peeling off. It is not like the bug bite that will have blister and then come down. There's no such skin peeling off." So, if sunburn can be this, the fire burn, you've been burnt, you've been hurt so much. So in the future, that suffering is so true that we need to see God use this to warn us. I actually have a friend who listened to the sermon on the hell and believing Jesus. The future judgment is so serious. Don't give up the opportunity now to receive Jesus Christ. Let Him carry the future condemnation. Deal with our sin and the sinful nature that we prepare ourselves to feel. In the future, we won't go through that. We will go to heaven where there's no tears, no sorrows, no pain, no suffering. So, people suffer in the order that God will provide salvation. There are several instances in the Bible. Matthew chapter 8 verse 2 says there is a leper came to Jesus asking for help. And Luke 18:35, there's a blind man come to Jesus asking for help. And 2 Kings chapter 5 tells the story of Naaman, the Syrian general who had leprosy, seeking for help. And more is in Daniel. Then would you read for us? Daniel chapter 4, verse 30 to 37. About King Nebuchadnezzar.
He said, is not this the great Babylon I built as a royal residence, and my mighty tower and for the glory of my majesty? Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. this is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone who wishes. Immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my insanity was restored. And I praise the Most High. I honored and glorified His who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He chooses with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to them, "What have you done?" At that same time, my insanity was restored. My honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything He does is right and all His ways are just. And those who walk in Christ, He is able to humble.
Thank you. So see, Nebuchadnezzar did not fear God. He was so proud. He was proud because he became a very powerful king. And during that time, God struck him down. And he became humbled 7 years. Modern reading would say that 7 years, he had psychological disorder. And the Bible says he lives his life on his hands and knees like an animal, even eat grass. So long hairs and not like a ordinary people's life. So God struck him with the disorder of mental condition, and he was driven to God. When the time come for his delivery, he praised God. He recognized that God gives him the kingdom. When he turns back to God, honoring God, see, the healing came upon him. So, people suffer, God gives salvation. When suffering brings us our heart to open to God, seeking for help this way. Sometimes we're seeking help from a doctor. Sometimes, like this case, seeking help from God. What do you seek? Where do you seek help when you have problems? We usually come to people first. But, hey, don't forget who is really in control. We need to come to God first. So, sometimes God uses tragedies also brings others to God, like Nazareth in John chapter 11. Nazareth was very sick, but before he ever died, Jesus said that his sickness was for the glory of God. John chapter 11 verse 2 and 4. Later in 11:45, that many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Jesus did revive Nazareth, and people came to know Jesus Christ. So your suffering sometimes also gets God intervened. God's intervention will show others to God. So suffering has a purpose. Bring us to God. Bring others to God. And then that showed us we needed to work by faith. So some Christians suffer because of the chastisement of God. For Christians, our duty is to live a Christian Christ-honoring and obedient life before God. If I become disobedient, Bible would say that my Heavenly Father will rebuke and chastise me. Chastise means to punish or correct for moral improvement.
or in God's eyes, chastisement means to purify, to bring us to Him. Our Revelation 3:19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and be repentant." So there's other verse talking about this, which is in Hebrew 12, verse 6 to 8. I'd like to have Howard to read for us, please. During chastisement, during the time of discipline, during the time of learning to be obeyed, is not easy. Have you been disciplined by your parents? Time out for something? Was it heavy? No. Just as in the beginning, someone said, when you make something wrong, making mistakes, that was not a happy experience. You know, now in the States, the school would not allow, beating. When I was in primary school, you need to get 4 marks if you are not 100 points. 95, you get five stand on your hand. So we all were very frightened in those classes. But through those process, we all learn to obey, to be focused on studying. Yet God's chastisement need us to have faith in Him. Now there's a case in our house. Someone in our house speeding. Should be 55 miles per hour. And in that case, the speed went up to 95. And the police got it. And the one in our house needed to go to the court. And the judge said, "Hey, young man, the court is not here to just fine you or get you through education to get better driving behavior. The court is trying to show you that discipline does help, because after that, the guy in our house told me, 'Hey,' I asked, 'Do you still driving recklessly?' Because that's what the ticket showed. Reckless driving." The answer was no. "It is too troublesome, and I don't like to be in the court." So it is a warning. It is a lesson. It is something that will purify our heart and correct our behavior. That will also form our character in a way. In the future, drive carefully, or answer correctly, or in an incorrect attitude. So suffering does have a deeper purpose, that is to build up our characters. That is, by faith we walk in God. Because we have daily encounters, sometimes things suddenly turn into chaos. Suddenly out of control. So then we should ask, or we should check ourselves, what is the thinking that comes out of it? Do we have command? Do we have
grumbling? Do we ask somebody else, saying, is this your responsibility, and do not look at ourselves first? So the suffering God wants us to see, the first step is to look into ourselves. Are we the one God is having this trouble in our midst? We need to see ourselves first. Faith means we come to God first, not ourselves. When look to ourselves, it's our faith. We know who we are, but actually many times we do not know until heart condition shows up. That show our weakness. And back to Johnny. This last March, speaking, she said, I finally found out for those 45 years why God allows me to continue to have this wheelchair, and also now this past 2 years of cancer on the breast. Why? She said, because inside me, my personality still needs to be purified. I need to have more glory of God in me so that I can be more ready to the kingdom of heaven. She even used the resurrection body. When we face Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven, she said, I don't want just hope to be, in the coronation when Jesus become King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that everybody was jumping up and down. No, she said, I want to be my inner being, my heart, my spirituality, be better, be glorious, be ready to meet Jesus Christ. I think that should be our goal too. Chastisement, the suffering purifies you and me. Ongoing process, refining you and me. In my preparation, next one is Christians suffer for Jesus Christ. When we suffer, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So, suffering first, in the first place, purify us. Also, the purification brings the comfort of God. God is not just leading you through terrible times. You see, for Johnny, her lifelong, symbol, I think, is singing. Each time when I heard her presentation from our other time, this time too, from the beginning to the end, a lot of singing, a lot of praise. God is a God, give us praises. Why? Because when you sing, when we are singing and worship, God's throne come down to our heart. So when you have suffering, when you are not in the easy condition, complaining wouldn't help. Reasoning helps sometimes, but reasoning like Job, book of Job, a lot of reasoning. His friends came to reason with him. He reasoned back, but the bitterness went on. But when God showed up, his creation, what happened? Hey, Job came down. Job calmed down. He became humbled. He came to the point of being comforted, being rest in the creation of God, in the presence of God. That's what Apostle Paul did. He had so many sufferings. If you read the Corinthians, the church misunderstood him. The church said, you are not a good pastor. Get away from here.
Corinthian church. But he still loved them. He loved them so much, he wanted to go back. And these two verses said, he had been comforted so that he will give comfort to those who misunderstood him, betrayed him. That's what Jesus had. Jesus was betrayed by who? Judas Iscariot. Who else? Peter. So Jesus betrayed twice. And also be abandoned by another 9 disciples. Only one followed to the cross. John. Apostle John. So, one of you says, breaking up relationships. Friends betrayed you. Friends leave you. See? Suffering. But Jesus went through. That's why we come to Jesus. Get his comfort like Apostle Paul. He gave comfort because he has been comforted. This is a very, very important time for all of you. But most of all, if you want to receive comfort and assurance, you need to know. You need to have faith in Jesus Christ. You must believe in Jesus Christ. Because when we do not have a relationship with him, we will not get inside comfort. Because we have sinned and come short of glory of God, because that we come to know Christ not by our own works, but by believing him, that through grace, by faith, God gives us the salvation for the sake of the glory of God. And there's no difference for Jews, for Gentiles, for any educated or uneducated, all sorts of people. We need come to have faith in Jesus Christ and to know that only Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. Ask him to come in us, that we could have a personal relationship. I'd like to have Rebecca to read for me, for us, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Thank you. So the relationship that we can have with God, receiving his comfort, receiving the eternal assurance of the future delivery from the eternal hell, eternal suffering, is now. We need to have a personal relationship by believing Jesus Christ. By believing that he died on the cross for you and me, that his suffering on the cross can relieve us from the burden of our own efforts. We could have the delivery now. We could put our faith in Christ and he will give us the relief. And Romans 10:13 says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I do pray that each one of you who have not received Jesus Christ, open your heart, turn to Jesus Christ, trust in him. The Bible verses today help us to see the hope, the comfort, the delivery, the assurance that we may have by believing in Jesus Christ. If you have not done so, just open your heart, ask Jesus to come in, and he is faithful. He won't leave you, he will be with you, and he will give his salvation now, today, when you pray. Don't wait. just by faith. Just as you open your heart, just as you put your inner eye on the cross of Jesus, you'll be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus Christ suffer for us on the cross, for our death, for our separation from you, that his blood cleanses our sin. His suffering carries away our suffering. His suffering heals us from our afflictions. We pray that we'll be saved, we'll be healed, be comforted, and have hope in the eternity. Pray that your blessing be upon each and everyone confessed to the need of salvation. Thank you. If anyone wants to believe in Jesus Christ, it is now. You may pray in your heart. Follow me. I will repeat the prayer I just prayed shortly. Lord God, I need you. I have suffering in my heart. I have burden. I need you to help me. Come in, carry my sin and my burden. I put that on your cross. Your blood cleansed me. I want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Be with me, Jesus. Lead me, guide me every day in the future of my life. Be my Lord, my Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. If you do this prayer, God is faithful. He answers your prayer. He comes into your heart. Okay. We will have time for Lord's Supper now. Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. How old would you read for us? Through 32.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man who ought to examine himself Therefore, he eats of the bread and drinks from the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we will not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world.
Thank you. Yes, just examine ourselves, and we take the elements, the bread, and the juice, the grape juice. The Bible says, when we confess our sins, God is just and faithful. He will forgive our sins and cleanse all our iniquities. So we come to the table to confess, as Corinthians verses remind us, this is a Jesus sacrifice for us, where we are not worthy. So this is a sign, a symbol of grace. Just like salvation is a symbol of grace. A grace that we do not deserve, but a true relationship is the purpose of this element. Just like the verses remind us, that point us to the salvation of Jesus Christ. We need the truth to tell us God is true, salvation is true, our sin and our sinfulness is true. We need a cleansing. We need the purification. Give thanks to God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. This is the body of Christ that broken for us. Each one of us, if you've been baptized, take with gratefulness. If you have not received Jesus Christ, just come to in your heart, meditate on the truth of the Bible about Jesus' love. Take with gratitude. And Jesus blessed, I'm giving his blessing to the grape juice, symbolize his blood to wash away our iniquities and transgressions. Father God, thank you so much for your bleeding on the cross. Wash away our iniquities, transgressions, in every way. And the blood has power not only cleansing but also renewing. Give us the hope that your blood not only cleanse us but also give us the future life, living ability to live the way you want us to be. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.